In Randolph County and for miles around, everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ransparta means WHCO.
For folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHCO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know.
From Real Country 1230 WHCO, time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. It is 9:26. I'm Jeff. This is the People Speak. I hope you're having a good day. Talking today with Senator Paul Schimpf. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Good morning, and thank you for having me on.
Yeah, just kind of briefly, and we'll take a break, but what are we going to talk about today? A lot to talk about.
We do have a lot to talk about today. I was in Springfield this week. The 101st General Assembly has been sworn in. Governor-elect Pritzker will be sworn in on Monday, so we'll be able to talk a little bit about, you know, what I expect for my legislative priorities coming up this spring. I also, you know, just really quickly before we, get into it, I do want to, you know, give some props to Governor-elect Pritzker. I mean, he's at a different place than I am on the political spectrum, but a lot of times when leaders come in, you know, they say, you know what, I won, the other side lost, now get the heck out of the way and let me do my thing. Mm-hmm. Governor Pritzker, you know, from what I've seen, has made an effort to reach out to the Republican leaders, trying to say that, you know what, he wants to govern for all of Illinois, not just the Democrats. So, you know, I want to give him some props and, you know, say I really do appreciate that. And I think that's a very good gesture to try to unify the state.
True. All right. Well, we'll talk about all that here in just a moment. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 WHCO. Welcome back, 9:35. This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff. We're talking today with Senator Paul Schimpf, and the new session in up and running now, I guess. And
It is, and you know, all we really did with the new session in Springfield was we voted on the leader of the respective chambers, and then in the Senate we passed a few just procedural rules for, you know, how many what committees there are going to be. I have not gotten my committee assignments yet because the Democrats haven't decided how many Republicans are going to be on each committee yet. Once we get the number of seats, then the Republican leader, Senator Bill Brady, will make the committee assignments. But really, all we did on the Senate side was we got sworn in. The new members got sworn in. I didn't have to take an oath because I'm 2 years into a 4-year term. Mm-hmm. But new members were sworn in, and then we elected our leaders. So in the Illinois Senate, there are 40 Democrats now and only 19 Republicans. So the leader of the Illinois Senate, once again, is President John J. Cullerton from Chicago. You know, he's been the leader of the Illinois Senate for a long time now. And then on the House side, the House once again reelected Speaker Madigan as the leader of the House. So that was all the votes that have really been taken in the 101st General Assembly. The 100th General Assembly, though, the old one with some of the lame duck members, we did take a vote that was somewhat controversial. The new Governor-elect Pritzker, who I just in the first segment I talked about how I wanted to give him some props for, you know, wanting to work with Republicans. He did come to us and he asked for Republican votes on a proposal that he has to increase the salary for agency heads, for instance, like the director of the Department of Natural Resources or the director of the Department of Ag. We would be increasing their salaries by about 15%. And the reason that he gave for wanting to do that was The governor-elect felt like in order to attract, we had to be offering a compensation that was competitive private sector. So that was the rationale for asking for this increase of the salary heads. I wound up voting no on that, and I voted no for really two reasons. First of all, I reject the idea that we need to be seeking people from outside of Illinois to come in and head up our agencies. I'm a believer that, you know, although Illinois has a lot of challenges that we face, I think everything that's right about Illinois can fix what's wrong with Illinois. I think there is enough talent in our state that we can find people from Illinois to want to fill these posts. And I also think it's better if we do that, because if we have people from Illinois that are filling these posts, those are people that have skin in the game, people that have roots here, people that are committed to the well-being of our state. We had a director of the Department of Corrections under the previous administration. He was from Iowa. He never got confirmed by the Illinois Senate. He was always just an interim director, but I never even met with the director of corrections, despite, you know, repeated asks to meet with them. And it really infuriated me, because we have a number of corrections facilities here in the 58th Senate District. You know, so my constituents are working for the Department of Corrections, but we couldn't get the corrections director to come down and meet with me. We couldn't get him to come to Illinois very often. He didn't even come to our state that often. So I just really think that Illinois people need to lead our Illinois departments. So I rejected that rationale. That was one reason that I voted no. And then the other reason is we have some very daunting fiscal challenges in the state. There is a, you know, even though there was a budget in 2018, there is still a bill backlog, meaning, you know, people that are waiting to be paid by the state. Mm-hmm. There is still a bill backlog of over $7 billion. Mm-hmm. We also have an unfunded pension liability to the tune of $133 billion. Wow. Now, this, the increase in director salaries, that's not going to solve any of those fiscal problems. I think the total that that we're looking at is about $700,000 is kind of what the difference in, you know, the salary increase would be. That's a lot of money to us, mm-hmm. you know, but that's, you know, in terms of statewide finances, that's maybe a drop in the bucket. But I think, you know, it's something that if we're going to have credibility to say that we are trying, you know, to restrain spending, we are trying to keep spending down, we can't just, you know, $700,000 here, $700,000 there. It does start to add up.
True.
Eventually. And, you know, there's talk, we may talk a little bit later in the program, people are calling for new tax increases already, even though we just had a massive one just a couple years ago. You know, how can you look at people in the eye and say that, you know, we've tried to cut spending, and now, you know, and we can't cut anymore, and now we have to increase taxes, when you do something like this and you raise the salaries for the department heads? And a lot of times these department heads too, you know, they are, you know, some of them are just pure political appointments. Some of them, not all of them, you know, there are some good guys, but guys and gals running these agencies. But, you know, a lot of times they're figureheads, and it's the staff that's doing the heavy lifting. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you told me that you wanted to, you know, raise salaries for our corrections officers that are going in to the facilities and getting spit on, you know, and putting their lives on the line, absolutely. I'd be much more inclined to support that, mm-hmm. than, you know, raising the salary of, you know, of somebody that, you know, is in an executive position that's already being, in my opinion, very well compensated. So that's why I voted no. You know, I didn't go into a lot of hysterionics on the, you know, on the Senate floor or anything about that. I just, you know, I voted no, and you know, but it passed over my no vote. So, you know, we're going to see that. So that was a little bit frustrating.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I have seen some of the figures in the department heads, and they do make a pretty good salary now, but...
They do, and but the idea is you're saying, okay, if we're going to get the best and the brightest in the United States of America, you know, we've got to, you know, be able to, you know, give them this exorbitant compensation. And I, you know, and that's what I talked about. First of all, I don't think we need to be casting our net nationwide. I think, you know, I think we need people from Illinois, and I think there's a lot of talented people in Illinois who would take a pay cut to come and work and try to make our state a better place, because they, you know, they love Illinois. This is home. Mm-hmm. This is the place they want to succeed. So, you know, I think that just that rationale that we have to be able to try to recruit people from New York or, you know, other states to come into Illinois is something that I think is just, you know, that's a bad choice.
Exactly. We were talking, you mentioned something about a hold that's been lifted on a gun dealer licensing bill.
Well, that's something that I just found out about this morning, and I'm troubled about that. You know, if you remember, you know, over the past couple of years, you and I have talked about the concept of the gun dealer licensing bills that have been run by the Chicago Democrats. The first one was Senate Bill 1657. I cast the most votes against that of any senator, because I, you know, got to vote against that when it was heard in a subcommittee that I was the Republican on. That bill, Senate Bill 1657, was vetoed by the governor, and they were did not have the votes to override Governor Rauner's veto. Then they basically took that bill, Senate Bill 1657, and renamed it, refiled it. It was, you know, it was amended into what became Senate Bill 337. Senate Bill 337 once again passed both the Illinois House and the Illinois Senate. But instead of sending it to Governor Rauner, what they did was Senate President Cullerton filed a motion to reconsider. You know, so this is a parliamentary tactic to hold the bill up and not send it to the governor, who they knew was going to veto it. Well, what I found out they did was on the second to last day of session on Tuesday, so this is the old General Assembly, mm-hmm. Senate President Cullerton has apparently lifted his hold on that. And that bill could be sent, potentially, and I don't know that they have not done it yet, it could be sent to Governor Pritzker. So that is something that I'm going to be watching very closely, because those two bills, Senate Bill 1657, Senate Bill 337, this concept of a brand new gun dealer licensing system in Illinois, where the state of Illinois goes into the gun dealer licensing business, you know, an area that the federal government already, you know, they already mm-hmm. take care of that. You know, we create a new bureaucracy to try to set up requirements that people are going to have to meet to have a license from the state of Illinois. Now, that's something that I think would be very bad for our district. I worry that it would potentially put a lot of our small firearms dealers. I think if you drive through like Waterloo, Sparta, Pinckneyville, you know, on average, we probably have about three small firearms businesses per town here in Southern Illinois. They are a part of our economy. And what these bills were going to require them to do was install massive surveillance systems. You know, it'd be really onerous for a lot of these small businesses, and that's one of the reasons that I opposed both those bills. So I'm going to have to keep a close eye on whether this does in fact get sent to Governor-elect Pritzker. I just, in the first segment, I talked about how, you know, he's showing that he doesn't want to go back to the practices of Blagojevich and, you know, Speaker mm-hmm. Madigan, the whole just, you know, let's do whatever parliamentary sleight of hand, whatever, you know, tricks we have to do to just, you know, just exercise power without doing the right thing. I'm going to hope that, you know, if in fact they do send that to Governor-elect Pritzker, that he would reject that tactic. I mean, that was a bill from the previous session. It wasn't going to become law because the Governor Rauner was a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. We would certainly You know, if they want to try to do that, it needs to be debated again in the new General Assembly.
Exactly. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's take another quick break here, and we will come back. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 WHCO. Welcome back. Talking with Senator Paul Shemp and talking about some of the things with the new assembly coming into session here. And we did have a caller that, I mean, he's just briefly touch on or whatever, ask, says it's more difficult now to get a FOID card. I mean, used to, you could go, anyone could help you with it and stuff. And
well, that's one of, I do receive a lot of constituent complaints about the FOID card process. That's one of the things that I do reach out to the legislative liaison for the state police. I'm like, what's going on? Why is this tough? A lot of times, I think the difficulty comes from the fact that we're adopting new technologies. They want you to mm-hmm. use the new technology, and that's different than the process that we've, you know, that people have used in the past. And sometimes, you know, the new technology until you know you have it yourself, it's right. not your friend. So what I would say is, you know, this is something that my office can help with. My legislative assistant in Murfreesboro handles a lot of these situations where people are having problems, and she's able to work with the state police and get the problems straightened out right away. So, you know, if you are having an issue with getting your FOID card renewed, by all means, before you get frustrated and say I'm done, you know, and get mad, call my Murfreesboro office up and ask for help. We are happy to provide that help. I'm about to give you the number, so get your pen and paper ready. It's area code 618-684-1100. That's area code 618-684-1100. That's the number for my Murfreesboro office, and my legislative assistant will be happy to help you get the FOID renewal taken care of. We do, unfortunately, we do that quite a bit, and that's a service that we're happy to help provide. So, you know, just in the last few minutes, I do just want to talk a little bit about what my legislative priorities are going to be going forward here in 2019. There's kind of two categories. One is try to reform our government a little bit. So I'm going to be giving a lot of reform ideas that I think will make Illinois' government work more effectively. I don't know that I'm going to have a lot of success. I don't know that they're going to get a lot of traction, you know, but these are not partisan ideas. I think these are bipartisan ideas that I think both, you know, I'll get some support from both sides. I don't know that I'll get some support from the leadership, but some of these ideas are, I think, first of all, anytime we're going to be spending money in the state of Illinois, there should be a 72-hour cooling off period before you vote on it. Right. You know, our budget that we had in 2018, you know, was something that, you know, they had been negotiating it for a while. I knew about it, but, you know, they gave us this huge budget, and we had just a matter, you know, of like 3 hours to make a decision on it. So I would like to see that. I would like to see all the elected officials in Illinois have at least, you know, five bills that they, you know, if they file, you're guaranteed to at least get a committee hearing on those bills. Because right now, you can file a bill and it may not get out of the assignments committee in the Senate or the rules committee in the House. So that's a change. I also want to do more to try to help the Kaskaskia Port District here in southwestern Illinois. I want to try to do more to protect our corrections officers. So, and then we've got a trailer bill that needs to go through on the Southwest Illinois Connector Task Force to make sure that right. deadline is extended as well. So we can talk more about that the next time I come in, but it's, you know, there's going to be even though it's a new year, there's still a lot of work to be done.
Exactly. Senator, thanks for being with us.
You are welcome. Always enjoy talking with you, Jeff.
And we'll talk to you again next month. For The People Speak, I'm Jeff. Have a great day.